You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk covering every team in the NHL. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Stars fans, it's Jeff K., public address announcer for your Dallas Stars, and you're listening to Starcastic Remarks, part of the Hockey Podcast Network. Go Stars!
Hello guys, welcome to back to Starcastic Remarks alongside James and alongside Chris. My name is Ryan Chambers. We are the official Dallas Stars podcast of THPN. Thank you to DraftKings Sportsbook and their Pick 6 option for being our sponsor. Once again, that promo code is THPN for some special little goodies from them, from us. I apologize if my voice goes out during this episode, but I absolutely lost it with the last 22 seconds, and you're going to have to hold on to your seats while we talk about the rest of this game. Gentlemen, I don't even know where to start with this night because the game, the game was probably the best and most exciting Stars game of the entire season. We see the enormous trade that has just happened with Rantanen going to Carolina. I think some people saw that coming, but it's still a shocker that it happens. And then all of a sudden, the Dallas Cowboys have their head coach as well. So they just news dump Friday. Everyone just decides to get all their news out. And it's I don't even know where to start with this game, guys. What's y'all's initial thoughts?
That's when the news should dump. I mean, we need more Friday nights like this. This is great. Awesome hockey game. I thought the Stars played really well, and except for their PK, finally caved at home. They doubled the amount of goals they've allowed on the penalty kill in one night. That's pretty insane. Outside of that, the Stars, I thought, played pretty well. They pulled back too much in the third period, I think, especially on that, mostly due to that last penalty kill. That was actually really good, by the way. Essa in the box. Miro doesn't play a lot of penalty kill this year. He comes out, proves he can still do it. And then, of course, at the end of the game, Jake Oettinger just wins the game for the Stars. We should be playing hockey right now, but Jake Oettinger said no.
Yeah, I mean, I was listening on the ticket, and I could even tell that the game was easily the most exciting of the season. I mean, it was chaotic, and it's very back and forth, quick punches from both teams, and then the ending is just pure cinema. I mean, that's pretty much exactly what you want. I don't think ESPN could ask for a better nationally broadcast game.
They did it exactly right, and the Stars and the Golden Knights provided the entertainment. That was by far the most exciting game of the season for me.
And even the headliners show up. Jack Eichel plays the greatest game I've ever seen. And then Robo shows up and makes two goals tonight, and Jake Oettinger does insanity at the end of the game too. I mean, the headliners all showed up tonight. It was a great back and forth game. So many lead changes, and yeah, it was incredible.
Yeah, and really, when it comes down to it, most of the game was the Stars versus Jack Eichel.
Yep, Jack Eichel was insane. I know everyone, all the Stars fans, are pissed off because Jack Eichel was mentioned 100 times. He was the best player on the ice by a good margin tonight. It was insane. That guy is nuts, and he's having a nuts year. He for sure needs to be in heart consideration. I'm 100% on that train after watching him tonight.
So I want to ask both of you a couple of questions, actually, just before we even get into the game, because there's so many ways we could go with this. James, can you talk about what you were telling us in the group chat about listening to the ticket and why it was different and why you enjoyed it so much?
Why the ticket is so great when games are nationally broadcasted. It's because Razor becomes a homer, and it's so much fun to listen to him talk like that. Because whereas on the TV broadcast, he definitely is still a homer, he becomes it even more so on the ticket. And it's just, it's so much fun to listen to him be that way. And they're always laughing more, making more jokes when they're on the ticket, because it's like slightly less professional than a TV broadcast. So, listening to the ticket is a treat on games like this.
And if you didn't hear the radio call of the last big save by Otter, go to our Discord in the previous games channel. Matthew posted the audio from the ticket of Razor and Josh, and both of them just screamed. They just lost their minds and forgot what they were doing for a second. It was awesome.
Am I allowed to play it? I don't think I am.
I wouldn't. I don't think so.
I really want to play it now, but I know I can't. Dang it. Go and listen on Discord for that. Chris, I want to get your opinion on the broadcast for ESPN, because like you said, there were a lot of people that were really upset about how much Eichel was being mentioned. But like you said, he is the superstar of both teams, and he proved it tonight. Personally, I really liked AJ Molesko. She's fantastic as a color commentator. I really like what she brings to, especially to the national broadcast. But I mean, what's your opinion on the broadcast tonight? In chat talking about it,
I thought it was fine. I mean, people have the right to be mad about how often Eichel was mentioned. I get it. You want your team to be talked about more than theirs, but that's also how you market the game. You market the top players, and Eichel is one of the best players in the league. So you got to market him when you're on primetime Friday night on ESPN. So they did the right thing. Eichel showed up for him too.
Yeah, and it's tough when you're talking about the Stars team and back-to-back national broadcasts too. I mean, I don't think there's any Stars fan that won't get upset about that.
Yeah.
It's just the Stars are – no one hates the Dallas Stars, but they're not anyone's favorite team, really. So
it's also hard to single out what you're going to talk about with the Stars. I think the Stars are a more complete, well-rounded team than the Knights are, but there's not one standout player that – the Stars have. And I mean, I mentioned that, especially you look at the trade for Rantanen, that we'll get to it later, but they get Natchez, and Natchez has 10 more points than our top goal scorer does. And he's going to be their second line center. So like the Stars don't have a top player. That's why they don't get as talked about all these national broadcasts. So
the only rebuttal I would have would be Robo, since Sagan went
since
and he has been the best player on our team by far.
And he was the most talked about star, but Eichel was talked about a lot more for sure.
Yeah, and yeah, James, you were reading my mind. That was my thought process too, is the fact that what's kind of nice also is because Robertson was not chosen for Team USA for the Four Nations tournament, he also gets a 3-week break. So
yeah, honestly, I'll take that.
You know, I'll take it too. Honestly, I absolutely will. So jumping into the game, like for real, before the game even starts, and we saw it with the lines yesterday at practice, there were some weird looking lines. I mean, Roope Hintz comes back in and he's still on the third line, but he and Stankoven looked great tonight. There were several chances where they connected on. Brendan Smith comes in as a fourth line forward, which he has done in the past. And I can count about two or three shots or chances that he had that I thought were pretty decent. And then we saw, obviously, the big one. Bischel gets called up yesterday.
I see what you did there.
Or was it yesterday? Or the day before?
Yesterday,
whatever. It doesn't matter. He gets called up, and he plays with Dumba. And now everyone's thinking, okay, well, there's our giant, gargantuan, you know, pairing of D-men on the third line. So, or the third pairing. So what did you think about all of those D pairings before the game even started, and now after the fact, now that we've seen them in action?
I'll say one thing. Having a wall of meat for the third pairing is pretty nice. So regardless of how well they played together tonight, I didn't get to watch that much. From what it sounded like, they tried to shelter that bottom pairing a lot. Yes. But just from a size factor and a physicality factor, I mean, that's got to be huge.
Yeah, I think it definitely helps, especially against the Knights, who are a hard physical team. It just punishes them a little bit as they're trying to punish your D-men just a little bit more. I think that's a good thing to have. I thought Bischel played well. Him being able to make a big hit every night, I mean, that builds momentum, and it puts that thought into the other team's head anytime they're on the ice. So I think it's a good tool that he brings to the team too.
This was almost like a audition for Liam Bischel and how he would play in the playoffs. Do you think he met expectations What did he exceed? Was he just kind of eh? What do you think?
I think he met expectations tonight, and this is definitely going to be an audition for him. I mean, he's called up. No defensemen are hurt. He's called up because DeBoer wants to see how he would look and how these different pairs will look. And this will really kind of determine if the Stars need to go find a defenseman at the trade deadline, or if they think Bischel is good enough to fill that void. And if also the bigger thing is if Lyubushkin is able to be the number four instead of having to be a bottom pair guy. So that's really what's being tested right now, I think. And he was fine. He didn't do anything exceptional. He didn't do anything really bad. The big hit is really good. There's just a few plays here and there that he just kind of misses on. There was one in the neutral zone where he just kind of takes a bad angle and he turns what should be a 2-on-2 into a 2-on-1. So there's just these little tiny things that he just doesn't quite have a handle on that could be worse if he was played more than 13 minutes.
Yeah, and from what it looked like, his job going into this game was to hit more. I mean, they know how good he is at that, and it seemed to be more of a focus in this game.
Yep. And he led the team with hits with 4.
And that's no surprise that he gets brought in. Brendan Smith gets brought in on the fourth line, considering they're facing against a really big team. And right now the Stars are kind of small with the players that they have. So the other thing I kind of thought about was with Leon's audition tonight, that's kind of what I'm calling it. Does that mean that Nils Lundqvist is being used as trade bait, possibly, or in addition to a draft pick to go after, you know, any of the guys that we talked about on Wednesday?
I think that's also an addition. It's going to be, is Lundqvist going to be able to either play with Bischel or whoever else and be able to take care of business, or is it going to be Dumba? So I'm sure they would prefer it to be Dumba. So like James said, they can have just a wall of meat on that third pair. I think that would be preferred in the playoffs. But if Lundqvist can pick up his play and not get hemmed in his own zone when he gets checked, which is his biggest issue right now, and if he can show the offense, that would be a big deal. So it might be. We'll see. I don't know how much trade value Lundqvist really has, though.
He's played pretty well this year. And I mean, if anything, he's at least raised his value. He hasn't lowered. It's definitely raised. And I'm not saying it's like a significant, you know, raise. It's not going to get us like a second round pick or anything like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, it still definitely is a good thing to see for him. Okay. I'm going to jump all the way to the third period now, because you can hear it in my voice. Probably if you're listening on the audio side, especially, my voice is gone. The reason why is Jay Gottinger with 22 seconds left. That has to be one of the candidates for save of the year across the NHL. Has to be. Just the timing of it, the way that it was, the person who took the shot, Dorofeev, he's the leading goal scorer for the Golden Knights. That has to be, at the very least, top three going for save of the year.
Yeah, and it might not be like the craziest save of the year, but it's definitely the biggest and the most unexpected save of the year.
Considering the time, the place, the shooter, like you said, Ryan, I think it could be save of the year. It's insane. That is such a clutch save.
Yeah, Sportsnet actually put that clip up and then said this might be save of the year pretty much.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, that's the only thing I can think of is just he deserves that title for that right now. There was a lot of people that were giving him a lot of crap, especially on the third goal. I don't see it that way. Honestly, I thought it was just Vegas doing Vegas things. They played really well for considering they're on a second night of a back-to-back. I mean, they pushed Dallas to the brink. They literally did. So that one save, 22 seconds left in the third period, it washes away everything else that happened in the game, at least from his aspect. He could have let in 5 goals, and the Stars have 6, and he makes that save, and everything is forgiven because they get the 2 points.
I mean, it rewrites the whole story of the game, too. I mean, the story of the game is the Stars' penalty kill was not good, and honestly, they should have lost this game off of just that, and Otter, in the final seconds, just robs it right back.
I was really, really, really mad about the second goal, and not at Otter. I was furious with the penalty kill on that play. That those two passes back to back cross zone through the center, crazy. That should never happen. And that's something that Dallas has done so well this season is the penalty kill has just been ridiculous. It's been probably the best part of their game, honestly.
It has been. And I think you don't need to worry about it too much. I think you just toss that one up to a fluke and move on because, yeah, that was horrible. And they fixed it on the third power play, too, which was a huge thing. It got redemption. They had their best penalty killer in the box, and they came out and had an amazing penalty kill. I mean, it didn't look even really dangerous. So,
and the other part of it is it's not just that the Stars had a bad PK tonight. The Golden Knights have been 50% on their power play for the past 7 games. So
that's crazy.
I think it's 11 of 21, or maybe it's 12 of 23 at this point.
They were
in the last 7 games.
They were 9 for 20 going into
the
ESA. Oh, 10 for 20? I thought it was 9 for 20.
They were 10 for 20 going into this game.
It doesn't matter. It was ridiculous. That's what we're getting into. Like every two opportunities, they were basically scoring a goal lately. So, I mean, I don't even know where to go after this, guys, because the Stars get a power play goal. Robertson continues to do ridiculous things. Johnston makes plays tonight.
Let's stick on the end of the game because that last shift and the lineup that went out for that last shift was some coaching magic too. I mean, DeBoer puts out he put out Robo, Johnston, and Blackwell, and it's like that is weird, but it's your best defenders. Mm-hmm. And Blackwell shows it at the very end there with an insane diving save to stop a one-timer from hitting the back of the net. That is an outstanding play, and that's why we kept Blackwell from last year because he does crap like that. That is an insane play.
And I also want to point out that right after Eichel scored his goal to make it 4-3. Blackwell also made another defensive play in front of his own net, and that was like within 30 seconds after the goal. So, and we've talked about, and especially there's been those stats out there that how often the Stars are letting in goals after either team scores a goal, you know, whether it's the Stars go ahead or they get close and they narrow the lead or whatever. It's been obvious that the Stars have not been very good about that this season. I do want to talk a little bit about Hintz and Stankoven tonight because when I originally saw, because I didn't get the chance to watch the game on Tuesday night against the Hurricanes, it was very interesting to see him on the pseudo third line. The top three lines are all interchangeable in my opinion right now. They've just been so ridiculous. The two of those guys together just look really, really good. And the only thing I'm afraid of is that Stankoven is not finishing his chances. Again, he just snake bit again. He gets 2 goals, it's a flash in the pan, and we haven't seen him score again. And I don't even remember how long ago that was at this point. So is that something that's creeping back into his game?
I mean, it never really left his game. It's a one-off game where he was able to get some goals because he's crashing the net, and he's kind of gone back to trying to just snipe it. And he's not able to snipe at this level. He's just barely not in the right spot. I don't know if it's an all mental thing. I don't really think it is. I think his shot is just off and it's in his head, but he's got to find a different way to score. And he's kind of just refused to do it the way that he did in that Leafs game.
Yeah, I think it is in his head. He is a sniper. I think he proved it last year with how he started the season. All of his goals came from shots. But you're right. He needs to get out of it by crashing the net like he did in the game where he scored 2 goals. So you're not going to get out of it by just continuing to shoot and barely missing over and over again like he has been all season. The way to get out of it is to go get multiple dirty goals, multiple games in a row, and then once it's out of your system and you don't have the stick gripped tight, then you can start getting those shots to go in a little bit more freely. I mean, that just seems to be how it works with shooters like that.
And this game is a example of how you could still be impactful while not scoring goals too, because late in the third period, he also had a huge shift where he blocks a shot and then makes a great play to get it out of his own end.
And that's why we've never been super worried about Stank despite his lack of goal scoring, because he has looked fantastic in every game, even when he's had a 20-game goal drought. He looks like a really great player.
It would be really nice for him to get going, and maybe being with Ropé can help. Although,
worked on the power play.
Yeah, it did work on the power play. If we can see Ropé, it almost seems like Ropé this year has kind of changed his role a little bit. He's been more of a goal scorer this year. He's got more goals and assists this year. And Stankoven, maybe we need to tell him to stop, you know, shooting the puck as much and just go to the net and be there at the net and try and set up Ropé for this. Maybe that's a way to do it. I'm grasping at straws. It doesn't matter. They both looked really good. Something's going to go in for Stankoven again at some point. So
yeah, the problem with Stankoven going to the net is that he's 5'8". I mean, it's hard to get goals in front of the net when you're 5'8".
We talk about that, and he's had multiple goals, though, where he bullies someone who's like 6'6".
Right. So. But that's the problem with that. I mean, that's a problem. He can't make that his game. That can't be what he does. It needs to be a part of it, especially right now when he's struggling, but that can't be his thing.
The one other play I did want to point out, and I've got lots of other notes here, but I don't want to take over. Labushkin during the second period at around the 7-minute mark, I thought he made two fantastic D plays, and another reason why he's probably he's been the better pickup over Dumba, and it hasn't even been close. Labushkin has fit in very, very well with the Dallas Stars, and I'm glad that he's on this team right now.
Labushkin almost gets 19 minutes time on ice tonight. That might be his season high. And if he's going to play games like this, then he's for sure going to be that number four defenseman, and we're going to be getting two forwards at the trade deadline. I mean, that's exactly what we need him to do if he wants to be that fourth guy. And if he can do that, man, we're going to be a dang good hockey team.
I mentioned it earlier, but also Brendan Smith. I really liked him on that fourth line. What do y'all think?
I was shocked how good he was. He got 10 minutes time on ice. That's double what I thought he would get. I thought he would be getting double shifted out all the time. I think he showed why he doesn't like playing forward as much, because he had a wide open net and he missed. That's the only – I've got to give him that. Other than that, he played pretty well.
Yeah.
Well, but really, Eichel had one too, though. Let's be honest. He had a wide open net and he missed it too. So, I mean.
Okay, but Eichel gets a lot of wide open nets.
And he also had two goals tonight too. So, I mean, it is what it is.
What you're putting Smith in for is his physicality, the way he plays the game. When he plays on defense, his biggest point and the most impactful part of his game is when he lays a hit on someone. And it's always a huge hit. So, in terms of, like, you're looking at playoffs and you have this defenseman forward who can just lay a big hit every here and there, that can be a huge deal.
Right, and Smith's not going to be a starting guy in the playoffs, but to know that he can do this, should we need it in the third round in game five, then it's a good thing to know. And I think it was also intentional that he was played over Blumel tonight, not because Blumel was doing anything wrong, because he's actually been playing very well, but we had to know, can Smith play well at forward against the top teams in the league? And he absolutely can.
Okay, let's go ahead and bring this up, because I'm going to have to – I don't know if you guys have heard about this. I'll explain what Ardell is talking about. Okay, thank you, Ardell. This is your first comment in the chat. You're just letting the world crash around you. Okay, first off, let's talk about Robertson's game tonight. Again, just – ridiculous.
Very Jason Robertson-y.
Yes. I mean, he is, I mean, we've said it already like five times, but he's officially back. Like, yeah, I mean, and I don't even think that's the right way to describe it. He is otherworldly and elite right now. This is the Jason Robertson that scored over 100 points 2 years ago. This is the one we need to see.
And both of these goals come from just excellent positioning. He knows on the first goal that if a shot comes, the rebound's most likely going to go right where he decided to stand. That's exactly what he does, and he scores. And the second one, he knows that Johnson can get the puck to him, and he goes where it would be easiest for Johnson to get the puck to him. That's the only place Johnson could move it. He could only use that foot, and it could only go that direction, and that's right where Robo went to score. I mean, yeah, hockey IQ is off the charts.
The other thing about part of his goal scoring is he takes shots and surprises goaltenders all the time. He surprises goaltenders with how quickly the shot is thrown, where it's thrown from. I mean,
and it's perfect.
Yeah.
And when he's on, it's
in good spots. Yeah. He really does just take shots from places and times when you wouldn't expect to see it go on net. I mean, one, he does weird things where like he'll catch it and his back is facing the net and he'll shoot it anyway. Like he doesn't know if anyone's in the way or anything, but he takes the shot, and that kind of surprise can catch goaltenders off guard. And that's how you see a lot of his goals go in, honestly.
Yep. And the second goal is the perfect example of that. He gets it in a weird spot. He doesn't clutch it at all. He essentially one times it with a wrist shot, and it's insanely fast. He gets it off the stick so quick, and you're right, it's in a good enough spot to score. He elevates it. He gets it over the shoulder. The goalie's not going to be able to come up and get it when his release is that fast.
Hey, guys. Have you tried Pick 6 from DraftKings yet? What are you waiting for? The NFL playoffs are here, and time is running out. As the official daily fantasy sports partner of the NFL, DraftKings does fantasy sports like no one else. Pick 6 is super easy to play. Just select two or more players and choose whether they'll have more or less of a stat, like touchdowns, yardage, sacks, and more. It's fun, simple, and you can win big. Best of all, Pick 6 is available in most states, including Missouri, California, Texas, Georgia, and much more. And here's the kicker. DraftKings is making it even sweeter for first-timers. New Pick 6 customers can play just $5 and get $50 in Pick 6 credits. That's right. Play $5, get $50 in credits to keep the action going. Win more cash with Pick 6. Download the DraftKings Pick 6 app and use the code THPN. That's code THPN for new customers to play $5, get $50 in Pick 6 credits. Only on DraftKings Pick 6. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org in Connecticut. Must be 18 plus. Age and eligibility restrictions vary by jurisdiction. Pick 6 not available everywhere, including New York and Ontario. Void where prohibited. One per new customer. Bonus awarded as non-withdrawable Pick 6 credits that expire in 30 days. Limited time offer. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Okay, so and Motto, I'll answer it for you. The chats took a hard left turn when Ardell came into the
Ardell
chat.
Ardell just dropped a bomb in chat.
Yeah, okay.
Lost it.
So, all right, so let me explain at least from what I understand, okay? So, on a recent episode of the Steve Dangle podcast, they were talking about JT Miller. And obviously, there have been some connections with Dallas to JT Miller, even though we discussed last episode, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. It's probably just Jim Nill doing his due diligence, thinking, okay, well, I mean, if there's something there, maybe we can make a deal, you know, whatever. And I think it was Steve Dangle who put up that, what if there's like a one-for-one trade for Jason Robertson and JT Miller? And I was like, first off, no. For multiple different reasons, okay? But what – and I don't have the full context of it, so I don't want to take it out of context completely. But it was Adam who mentioned that there might be a bit of toxicity when it comes to Jason Robertson, meaning Jason Robertson is a toxic player of some kind. And I was like – oh, okay.
Does he even talk like Robo?
Yeah. He is very personable. Like he is not as open as Duchesne is. Like, you know, when I'm talking to him, like as a media member, but he is very forthcoming with, yeah, I should have done better with this, or yeah, you know, that was a great shot by this person. Or he's very forthcoming, and he's more than willing to talk about the game, especially after a win. He loves talking about the game after a win. And I'm sure he's, you know, just blabbing it up right now with the media and his fellow teammates. But did y'all hear anything about this?
No, but it makes sense to me. I mean, Nick Robertson is definitely good enough to play in the NHL, and for whatever reason, the Leafs just keep pushing him back down. So, I mean, it kind of makes sense to me why he'd be jabbing a little bit.
What do you think, James?
I don't know. I don't think it means anything.
Yeah, who cares? It's the Leafs.
Yeah, well, the other thing was is that two guys who have covered the Stars for a long time, Sean Shapiro and Owen Newkirk, they've been around the team for a long time, and they talked about it on DLLS. I think it was might have been yesterday or the day before, and that's the only part of the episode that I had watched. And I was just like, what am I watching? Is this some sort of like alternative Marvel universe where Jason Robertson is actually like a toxic player? I had never seen Nick Robertson's a toxic player,
didn't they?
No, I think they were talking about Jason Robertson.
Oh, why? Well, they wouldn't know that.
Yeah, see, that's what
I think they had to be talking about Nick.
That was what I thought too, but apparently that's the direction they were going. Anyways, let's move off of that. We can get off of that. The one other player I wanted to talk about tonight that continues to be really good, and he's just not quite getting enough points, to show for it, and he probably deserves more, as Maverick Bourque. He has been a really good addition to that third line with, Wyatt Johnston moving up to the top line to take that place of Robe Hintz. He moves on up to the top line with Duchesne and Ben, and he's been a very good addition to that second line.
And yeah, he's just in the exact same spot that Stankoven's in. I mean, he's in the right spots. He's doing the right things. And then he touches the puck and it blows up on his stick. It's just both those guys just look the exact same to me right now.
Yeah, but with Bourque playing better the way he has, it's allowed the Stars to move back to, like, there are three very good scoring lines on this team right now, especially with you bring Hintz back and they just left Robo and Johnston and Dodonov together. They just throw Hintz with whoever, Logan and Steele at most of the time, I think it was. And you have three very dangerous lines for very different reasons again. I mean, right. It's been working out great.
And hopefully it cements the fact that Bourque is not a checking line player, which he absolutely is not. And they keep putting him with skill players where he belongs. Because eventually, I think he's still a rookie, you got to remember. So when he finds the confidence or the scoring touch or whatever it is, he could really get going.
Okay. Anything else before I jump into some stats?
Do it.
So lots of players with multi-point nights tonight. Jason Robertson, obviously, with two goals. Wyjo gets two assists. Dodonov very quietly gets two assists and continues his really great season. Duchesne also with two assists. He's been very quiet lately as well. And then we see Miro Heiskanen with an assist. Roope gets a goal, obviously. And, the other player we didn't talk about is Jamie Benn. Again, just very quietly just being ridiculous and getting a tip in front of the great tipster himself, Joe Pavelski, who is in attendance tonight. So, and I guess we should mention, too, that Stankoven does get an assist tonight as well. So he gets a little bit of credit tonight, but I felt like he deserved so much more based off of the chances that he got.
Yeah, I mean, the big thing with Ben is he was on a six-game pointless drought after going on the crazy, like, 8 or 9 streak that he was on. And that drought lines up perfectly with where the Stars started struggling to. So, I mean, right now, it's if one of those top forwards stops scoring, the team struggles. That's just how it is when you have some of your best players out.
Another interesting thing I'm looking at is the time on ice when it comes to defensemen. So we see Heiskanen obviously leads the way, 26.5, basically. And then Harley with 25.5.
Yeah.
And then we see Esa with only 20, 33. Labushkin, 18, 53. Dumba with 12, 53. And Bischel with 13-11. So the one thing I want to take out of this is Thomas Harley, because there have been a lot of talks on X lately from media members about how, and this is the first time I've actually thought about it this way, underrated Thomas Harley truly is right now. That he is projecting as a top pair, D-man, according to Dom Lecision's model, who is a guy who writes for The Athletic. And normally his projections are very accurate. And this has got to be one of the highest times on ice I've seen probably for his career.
Yeah.
Well, he's definitely a top pair guy. We just don't want him to be because we want him to play on his strong side and Miro to play on his strong side. But he's definitely good enough to be a top pair player.
Yeah, and he gets elevated to first pair with Miro tonight because they need the speed to keep up with Jack Eichel. I mean, Miro and him played against Eichel pretty much every time he touched the ice. And whenever they weren't on the ice and Eichel was, Eichel scored pretty much. That's what happened.
Yep, and I think this is very likely what we're going to see when the playoffs come around. I am 85% sure it's going to be Miro Harley as your top pair.
It's just so good.
You know, honestly, I don't think so. Because we
that's
saw
what we tonight.
Well, no, that's not really what happened tonight.
But yeah, it is.
No, well, we saw Lindell playing on the top pairing mostly with Miro, and then Harley was doing kind of his own thing.
Miro Harley played the most time together of any pairing, 13 minutes, almost 14.
Okay, all right. So I need to be corrected for that.
Still pretty much Miro in circle though. So
yes, but. I mean, typically what you would probably want is since Harley is your true number two guy in terms of time on ice, you want him and Miro to be separate so that the other team is facing one of those two guys at all times, right?
Cool. Not at home is the only stipulation. When you're on the road, yes, absolutely. You should split them up probably, try to play them both at all times. But when you're at home, stack them, put them against the best player every time.
Yeah, I think those two should be against Eichel whenever he's on the ice. And that's pretty much what happened later on in the game.
Okay, fair enough. I guess really what we want is kind of what happened tonight, actually, the opposite of what I thought. You want Miro out there on one pairing and SL on the other. And then you're facing one of those two guys at all times. Maybe that's truly what you want. Because as good as Harley is defensively, no one compares to Esa Lindell when it comes to defensive play. It's not even close. So, Ottinger only had to make 18 saves tonight and off of 21 shots. He has an .857 save percentage tonight, but no one's talking about that because of the save that he makes. And and that's one of the things, like, this felt, and maybe I should have said this more, this felt so much like a playoff game. Like the things that happened, the way that it happened, the Stars, it's technically a comeback because they don't score first. Otter gets the big save. Your best players are your best players. You're getting great defensive play, 5-on-5, not penalty kill, but 5-on-5. So this is a great audition for the entire team when it comes to, you know, how they might have to play against teams in the playoffs.
Right, and we've talked about this a lot during playoffs, especially, that you don't have to be lights out the entire game start to finish. But if you can make the big saves when it really matters, if you can make the save within the minute after your team scores a goal, if you can make the save at the end of the game to win it, that's more important than having a 900 save percentage.
Yeah, and I think that's why this game felt so much like a playoff game, because I mean they traded power play goals in the first. That's a huge power play goal for the Knights to start it, and the Stars get one right back. It's even bigger, and that really held for most of the first period. That really got the Stars back into motion, and yep. Then the second rolls around, it's kind of trudging along, and one comes out and is a scramble and it goes in the net, and you just, someone's gotta find a way to punch back. The Golden Knights get a power play, execute on it again. I mean, it's executing on your best chances, and the only part of the game that either team had like a lull was the end of the second, when the Golden Knights just could not keep up with the Stars and they just went downhill, and the Stars went bang, bang, got two, and they were able to hold on to that for the rest of the game. And there is a power play in the third as well from the Golden Knights, and that's huge. They scored on both of them. They've been executing all night long. It's just all building up to this one point when you don't think that the Stars are going to kill this penalty because they look so bad on the other two power plays for the Golden Knights. And that's that type of storyline, and how big of a moment it becomes is why it feels so much like a playoff game. Because even though it's a normal 2 points in January, it this the story of the game was spectacular.
And to further your point, James, the shots on goal in the second period were 15-5. I mean, they tripled up on the Vegas Golden Knights in that period. So they were great that period, and that was honestly the difference in the game. They got the two quick goals late in the second, and that was enough for Otter to somewhat close the door for the rest of the game. So, okay, we need to move on because it's getting late. Biggest winner, biggest loser, who you got?
Biggest winner, I hate to say it, is Jack Eichel. He almost took over the hockey game.
He did, and Jake Oettinger decided to not let it happen at the very end. So Jake Oettinger gets my biggest winner just for the last two saves in the last 20 seconds of the game. That's easily the biggest save at the most critical time.
That's the true biggest winner for me too, James. But I will give mine to Jason Robertson for the two goals tonight. He did again. He just continues to be one of the best players, points production wise, especially since Christmas. So
he just quietly puts him in. That's yep. his job, and he's doing it really well right now.
Exactly. Biggest loser tonight. Who you got?
The biggest loser is Brendan Smith. He played great, but he had a wide open net and he shot it right into the goalie.
James. Yeah,
that's pretty unfortunate.
Unfortunate
biggest...
understatements.
Yes.
Biggest loser is Aiden Hill. I mean, for how well Otter was at the very tail end of that game, I mean, Aiden Hill coughed up a lot of rebounds, is a main reason why Robo gets two of his goals. He knows he has to be better than that. But right now he just can't seem to find it. So
why didn't we see that guy in the playoffs last year?
Right.
He's starting to have like his first like bad part of anything ever. I think he's been on that cup high for a year and a half.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Yep. I'm going to give mine to Maverick Bork and Logan Stankoven. And for the reason y'all are thinking, just for not putting one away.
That could have made this game so much easier.
Between the two of them, I'm not saying high danger chances, but you got to think they had at least probably, what, four or five chances between the two of them that could have been seen as quality chances. And I mean, I know Bork for sure had a high danger chance there at the end of the game, and Stankoven had a couple in the second period. So, again, something's going to go for those two guys. They're going to click on something, and they'll be able to figure it out. It's just – and what's nice is that they're able to do this, and they're still able to play extremely well defensively even, especially defensively. We saw Stankoven with two huge defensive plays back-to-back, and they can just kind of figure it out while still being able to win games. That seems to be the mantra of the Stars season this year is – despite all of the things that we complain about, their power play not being good at points, their rookies really starting to get going, and we're seeing them play better, and they're not able to, you know, capitalize on the chances all the time, they're still winning games despite all of this stuff. Oh, and did we mention Tyler Seguin, Mason Marchman are out, and at points we have not seen Roope Hintz either. So, I mean, this team is in a very good place right now. And it's very exciting to be a Dallas Stars fan, especially after that game tonight. And this was so much better than the game against Carolina. I don't even have to guess. I don't even have to guess. So, okay.
And we've got some exciting trades coming up, hopefully, after the Four Nations happens.
You know, I don't know how that's going to work if they're going to be able to make trades during the Four Nations break. I think they can.
Well, I don't think they will.
But I don't think they will, yes.
I think someone at the tournament gets traded.
Yeah, like yeah, Crosby gets traded to Colorado or something.
I highly doubt they would do that.
Okay. Do we want to talk about the trade real quick?
Yeah.
Yep, okay. Sure. And it's the trade. Let me bring it up real quick because I had like a
I know.
Whole...
Mikko Rantanen and Taylor Hall go to the Canes in a three-team trade. The Blackhawks get a second round pick and retain 50% of Rantanen's salary, a third round pick, Oh my goodness. My bad. Like I said, a third round pick. They get fleeced. And then Colorado got Natchez. They got Drury, who's a depth center that was on Carolina. And they got a couple picks. So that's crazy. Carolina did something aggressive for the first time ever. And it looks amazing.
Yeah, we'll see how it plays. That's definitely a team that has struggled with goal scoring, even with Natchez on their team.
Yep, and it's a team that's similar to the Stars, been to numerous conference finals, has been right on the doorstep over and over again, has been a great team for 5+ years, and hasn't been able to break the door down. And they're like, all right, screw it. We're going to try and break the door down. And they went out and they got the biggest piece available at the trade deadline. And they got it a month before it happens.
So in addition to all those players that you mentioned, Chris, the Avalanche are also getting a 2025 second round pick and a 26 fourth round pick.
How do they get those picks too? Oh my goodness.
Well, so I'm honestly surprised they didn't get a first round pick. It probably should have been a first round pick, in my opinion.
Natchez is a first round pick in my book.
I know how y'all feel, how you feel about it, Chris, and Natchez and everything. My thing is this one thing. With Mikko Rantanen, you know exactly what you're getting. There, right. Like, sit for, I forgot what it was for a period of time, but there was some stat I saw on X that over this period of time, there's only three players that have scored more points than Mikko Rantanen. And it was McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, and Nathan MacKinnon. That's it.
Yep.
So that means that he not only has Mikko Rantanen been elite, he has done it over a long period of time.
Yep.
Marty Natchez is new to that conversation. I think you can call him an elite player, but he is new to that conversation.
100%.
Now, you could also go look at the other side of the trade and say, okay, well, Mikko Rantanen was only doing this because he was with Nate MacKinnon. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could say that. I don't believe that, but someone who is looking at this from a pessimistic side could say that. So that's why I still believe that, you know, the Canes are the one that make out best with this trade. It's they get the best player. Yeah. They got the best player.
They 100% got the best player. I kind of love this trade for both teams. I think Colorado's not going to get Rantanen back after this season. I mean, these are just rumors, so he's probably getting way less than this. This might just be what he's asking for. I heard $12 million a year for Rantanen, which seems crazy.
No, 14. 14 plus.
There you go, even crazier.
That was the rumor.
Colorado's never going to make that work with their cap. It's impossible for them to make it work. They're having a down season for the first time in a long time. They don't really see this as being a year where they can push for a cup again. And I think instead of trying to push for a cup, re-racking, like, this isn't even a rebuild. This isn't even a retool. This is a re-rack. They're reloading the gun and cocking it again. They're going to be still good this year, and they're going to be even better next year. I think it sets them up great to keep their window open for longer, which for a team that has already gotten a cup is probably more your ideal look at it. And then for Carolina, they've had the window open and they can't do it. So getting the player that's best available, I think, is the right thing to do too, because your team already is worse this year than it was last year, just on paper. It hasn't shown on the ice, but to get a guy like that and get it at least as good as it was last year, probably better since they actually have a bona fide elite player now, I think it's the right thing to do for both squads.
Yeah, now, especially
one other thing, sorry, James, is that it's a little debatable. Colorado does look good. They've looked really good recently. So there is a debate that it could be worth it to go for the cup again this year for Colorado. But I think it's a good move by both teams.
I think the other big thing that is a factor in all this is playoff scoring as well. I mean, Rantanen has been there and has always put up numbers in the playoffs. And that is a that is the biggest struggle when it comes to the Hurricanes in the playoffs, is being able to consistently score. Seems like they always have someone hurt going into the playoffs who's a key part of their offense. And Rantanen is going to be their offense in the playoffs.
Yep.
And that's exactly something that Dallas has struggled with as well. So we're all too familiar with that. I completely disagree with you about the whole not going for a cup this year, Chris. I think that's why they make this move. Because, you know, Ranton's not going to re-sign. And there's no way he's going to sign for less than $14 million, apparently. So they're getting this. They're getting Marty Natchez for 6.5, and he signed for several years after this year. I mean, I think they replaced a guy that can do maybe not quite to the same, you know, level that Rantanen can do, but considering that you were probably going to lose the guy anyways, this was an excellent trade for Colorado to do.
Well, like you said, Rantanen is the best player in this deal. So Colorado did get worse with this trade, but it wasn't by a lot. So it's they're definitely not sellers this season. I agree, but they got worse with this trade, and they might be better in the long run.
Another thing about this trade is I'm very surprised that that's all Chicago got.
That's a terrible trade by Chicago.
Now the only other thing I can think of is maybe they didn't really want Taylor Hall. You know, maybe Carolina didn't really want Taylor Hall. So Chicago's like, okay, fine, we will do this and we'll only take this one pick. But we want, you know, Taylor Hall off of our books because we want to go out and get insert player here at, you know, free agency July 1st. I don't know. Maybe that was part of the reasoning and that's why they only got a third round pick. But I don't know.
Well, how much would the Stars spend on Taylor Hall? I mean, if it was a third round pick, he'd be a star right now, I think.
Yeah, it's weird too because like you do get Taylor Hall off your books, but you're also taking $4.6 million from Mikko Rantanen's contract, so you're really only getting.
But that's only for this year, though, James. That's only for this year. I think Taylor Hall has several other. Or is he a UFA this year?
He's a UFA
this year.
They only get 1.5 really off sense. Their cap, and they get a third round pick.
Yeah, that's a terrible play. It's a terrible move.
They lose a player, and it's weird.
Yeah. Well, now, in terms of the Stars, does this make Colorado a little bit formidable? Or do you think does this mess with the chemistry of Colorado's locker room?
It makes Colorado worse. They don't have Mikko Rantanen, and that's good.
I agree. There are some people that are saying, oh, well, it's Marty Natchez, and he's going to be really good.
Yes, yeah, Natchez will be good, but he will not be Rantanen.
Yes, and Rantanen has been scary good for the Avalanche against the Stars in his career. So I'm looking at this as a Stars fan. Very positively. Mikko Rantanen is no longer in the division. So.
Yeah, it's weird because Colorado does get like a little bit of depth because they really were all top heavy. I mean, it was, but it's McKinnon and was Rantanen and Nichushkin and that's it. Well, Makar, but forgot that and one.
Lekkonen's been
they
okay
get,
too.
They get two pieces for it. Yeah, and now they have, like, three Lekkonens instead of one.
But how good is Drury, really? I don't...
I've seen and from what I have, noticed, at least, I've seen his name quite a bit this year, especially. I think he's a rookie or he's a second-year player, and he has been very noticeable for the Carolina Hurricanes this season. So... I'm not surprised that he was included in the deal.
Full season is what he's going for.
Okay. So apparently at first it was Kotkaniemi instead of Drury. And then I think it was Frank Saravalli that said it was Kotkaniemi. And then he switched it and said, nope, never mind. It's Jack Drury. So that made it a little bit better for Colorado Avalanche fans, but not much better. I mean, that's like us losing Wyatt Johnston because Wyatt Johnston is going to want a big pay raise, right? Now he's not going to want $14 million, but that's basically a somewhat equivalency for a Dallas Stars fan. You could say we can't sign this guy. Wyatt Johnson doesn't want to sign with us because he doesn't want less than this number. We have to trade him off. I mean, and you might still get a good player back in return, you know, like a Marty Natchez, but it's still a guy that you've spent a lot of time with and, you know, watched for a long time, you know, for 3 years now. Rantanen was there for even longer. So that's got to be like a it's got to be a weird thing to be a Colorado Avalanche fan right now and be like, this is a decent trade and we're getting back a good player, but also we're losing a guy that we've adored for a very long time.
Yeah. And we saw the other side of that, though. We kept on to Klinger late in his career when we probably could have got some pretty solid pieces for him. We hung on to him because we thought we could go try and win a cup, and it didn't work out, and we got nothing. And he's now playing for the Oilers for free.
All right, guys. One more thing for you, and we don't have to discuss it all that much, but it was interesting. Frank Seravalli also reporting, after all the details are out from this trade, that he has a source, a very reputable source, apparently, that is saying that there was a deal that was even bigger than this one that was being talked about tonight. And then on top of that,
what?
Kevin Weeks tweets out a picture of Pittsburgh. And of course, the first thing that everybody talks about, Sidney Crosby to Colorado. That's not going to happen. I don't believe that. But I mean, what does that mean? Evgeny Malkin? Does that mean Chris Letang?
I could see Malkin. Doesn't Crosby have a full no move?
He does.
And I think he would, I mean, he's won everything. So he's got to be a big, you know, like image legacy kind of guy. So
at this point, yeah.
Getting traded to Colorado at the end of your career to try and make something happen at the end just doesn't seem like something that he would be into.
Does not compute. So
I would love to be wrong, though. That would be awesome. Maximum chaos.
I mean, after this trade tonight, I mean, who else could? I mean, I know we talk about all the time, well, Wayne Gretzky got traded too, but Crosby? Sidney Crosby?
That would be epic.
I mean, even Evgeny Malkin being traded would be extremely surprising. So,
it makes a lot more sense, though, at least.
And you know, this trade also kind of makes a lot of sense considering all of the rumors that we've seen for the last week and a half, last 2 weeks. It's just been ridiculous with names being thrown out there with Seth Jones and JT Miller and, you know, all of these other guys. It shouldn't be surprising, I guess, that we see a trade like this.
I'm surprised it's happening now. I really thought it wouldn't happen until the week of trade deadline just because of how many teams in the East are still right there. Everyone is in still.
Okay.
Oh, none of the teams that are in that race were in the trade, so.
Right. at extreme opposites too, right? You know, two teams in the playoffs, one just completely out. Okay. We've already been here for a really long time, but we're going to make it even longer because we haven't even really talked about the biggest thing. The Dallas Cowboys have their new head coach.
All right, who cares?
I'm just kidding. We're going to leave it off like that. Okay, guys, anything else?
That's it. Was that long enough, guys?
I mean, considering everything that happened, I think it was worthy of an hour episode. Best Agreed. Game of the season, biggest trade we've seen in a long time. Yeah, it's worthy of an hour episode. So
this will be a fun season if we see more trades like that.
Yes, it will be awesome.
Maximum chaos. Not fun for the players because they have to uproot their lives, but you know, for fans, absolutely. Okay, guys, thank you all so much for following along live with us here this evening. There's even more who are listening afterwards. If you're listening on the audio side, please consider leaving us a 5-star review wherever that may be. On YouTube, click like and subscribe. Hit that notification bell as always. SarcasticRemarks.com is the website, and SarcasticRemarksShop.com is the merch store. And as always, thank you to our sponsor, DraftKings Sportsbook. Promo code is THPN. Alongside James, alongside Chris, my name is Ryan. We will catch you guys on the flip side. Hope you guys have a fantastic morning, afternoon, evening. Whenever you guys are listening, Chris, what you got?
Night, night. GG, boys.